Good morning once again, dear friends. We gather for worship on this fifth Sunday of Lent, March 29th. It's a gathering made possible by technological connectivity, and many of us have spoken recently about how good it is to have the tools to be able to stay connected in this way. So true. Of course, we remember that of far greater wonder is the connection that we have in Christ. As the writer of Ephesians points out, through Christ, we all have access in one spirit to God. This binds us together spiritually, a bond unbroken by circumstance. Through Christ, we all have access in one spirit to God. We may affirm that concept in easier times, but in these days, may it be a real-life, real-time anchor for our faith community. As we continue during Lent to walk with the Good Shepherd through Psalm 23, we arrive at verse 4 this morning. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Who knew when we selected this scripture months ago how timely it would become? Thanks be to our Good Shepherd for going ahead of us and providing what we need even in this way. There is a song we often sing which anchors us in God in all times, fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise. God always faithful, you do not change. That's number 27 in Sing the Journey.
God in the gospel, hope seen in Jesus, hope yet to come. You are our center, daylight or darkness, freedom or prison, you are our home. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. Struggles, God in our hunger, suffering with us, taking our part. Still you empower, mothering spirit, feeding, sustaining from your own heart. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change. Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise, God always faithful, you do not change.
Let us pray. Faithful, unchanging God, your church throughout the world lifts its collective voice today in song and prayer, song that proclaims our faith and hope, prayer that admits our frailty and need. Merciful God, hear your church today in so many places and languages, singing and praying together through the one Spirit of Christ our Lord. And as we wander through the wilderness of this time, find us, Good Shepherd. And with your rod and your staff, bring us together into the fold of your love, your presence, your provision. Amen. I have a story now for the kids. I'm at the front of the church right now, and it's lovely to imagine all of you sitting together here. Hopefully we can do that again before too long. This story is called Mountains and Valleys. I can see them, I can see them, Michael shouted, bouncing up and down in the back seat of the minivan. Look, those little gray bumps on the horizon, that's got to be the mountains. Yes, I think you're right, agreed Dad. Michael and Amber and Mum and Dad were on their way to the mountains for a holiday. Mum and Dad had been to the mountains many years ago, but Michael and Amber had never seen the mountains, not big ones like the Rocky Mountains anyway. So Michael had been watching intently for what seemed like forever, waiting to see those little tiny bumps appear way off in the distance. For hours, he had seen only flat land and a straight line up ahead where the sky meets the ground. But now, there they were, the mountains. "How soon till we can start mountain climbing?" asked Michael excitedly. "In 10 minutes? 15 minutes? How long till we get there?" "Well," said Mom as she glanced at Dad anxiously, "you'll have to be patient for much longer than 15 minutes, I'm afraid. Those mountains are very far away yet." "Like how far?" demanded Michael. "I think we'll be driving for at least an hour yet, maybe more." "An hour?" Michael shrieked. "But the mountains are right there. I can see them." Now Amber chimed in. "Michael, they're very tall and very far away." Michael shot a glare at Amber. "Amber's right," agreed Dad. "Some of the tallest mountains are 3 or 4 kilometers tall, and we can see them a long, long time before we get there." Michael slumped down in his seat and crossed his arms. Why did excitement have to become frustration so quickly? He was starting to imagine mountain climbing and snowboarding when suddenly he felt something strange. It seemed like their van was going downhill. He popped up in his seat and looked out the window. Sure enough, they were driving down into a valley. Down, down, down the van drove. Pretty soon they were at a bridge crossing over a small river. And then just as quickly they started driving up again, up, up, up the hill until they came to the open flat road again. And there were the gray bumps still far away on the horizon. "That was surprising," said Michael. "How can there just suddenly be a valley out here? I didn't see that coming at all." "Yes, isn't that interesting," agreed Mom. "Mountains rise up and we can watch them getting closer and closer for a long time and get excited. But we can't really see a valley until we're right there and going down into it." "Hmm," said Dad after a pause. "That's just like other things in life." Michael and Amber looked at each other with knowing sighs. They could tell Dad had come upon one of his life lessons. "In life," Dad continued eagerly, "we often look ahead and imagine all the things we're looking forward to and planning for. And that's all very good. But harder times, like going down into a valley, can come upon us suddenly. We often can't see the valleys coming until we're going into them." "Oh, man," said Michael. "That's like that pandemic we went through last year. We were just going about our lives, and I was looking forward to the warm spring weather and playing baseball. And all of a sudden, church was canceled and school was canceled. Everything got canceled. We had to stay home and not see our friends. I had no clue what was going on. I wondered, where did this come from all of a sudden?" "You're exactly right," said Dad. "That was a valley we went into suddenly. And it was a hard time. But we did get to the bottom and up and out the other side." "And he was with us," said Amber. "Who was with us?" asked Mom. "The Good Shepherd. Remember our memory verse last spring before church started being canceled? Part of it said, 'Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.' That's the shepherd, Jesus. He was with us in the valley that we didn't see coming." There was silence after that for a while. Everyone thought about valleys and mountains and the Good Shepherd. And Amber was proud of herself for remembering the memory verse. The end.
Beyond my wants, beyond my Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
Gently you raise me and heal my weary soul. You lead me by pathways of righteousness and truth. My spirit just sang the music of your name.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
The first scripture reading for this morning is from Isaiah chapter 43. I'm reading from the Message, paraphrased by Eugene Peterson. But now God's message, the one who made you in the first place, Jacob, the one who got you started, Israel. Don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. You are my witnesses, God's decree. You are my hand-picked servants so that you'll come to know and trust me, understand both that I am and who I am. And you know it. You're my witnesses. You're the evidence, God's decree. Yes, I am God. I've always been God, and I will always be God. No one can take anything from me. I make. Who can unmake it? And the second scripture is from Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. This section is entitled, Christ Holds It All Together. We look at this sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was the supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade, he is the supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. You yourselves are a case study of what he does. At one time, you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of him, giving him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy in his presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in that bond of trust, constantly tuned into the message, careful not to be distracted or diverted. There is no other message, just this one. Every creature under heaven gets this same message. I, Paul, am a messenger of this message. Thanks be to God. Betty will share a meditation with us now.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23:4. Were these the words Jesus wrestled with in the Garden of Gethsemane, first haltingly, falteringly, then hearing footsteps declared, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I know your rod and staff will comfort me. Jesus, after the Last Supper with his disciples, crossed the Kidron Valley, which David names the Valley of the Shadow of Death in Psalm 23. Jesus had crossed this valley many times before when traveling between Jerusalem and Bethany. This evening, he walked from Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane, and prayed. While in Jerusalem, pushing my way through the hordes of people, I walked the Via Dolorosa to the Garden of Gethsemane. On the edge of the garden stood the Church of All Nations, also named the Basilica of Agony, built around the rock where Jesus prayed that fateful night. Standing in the Garden of Gethsemane gave me a panoramic view of Jerusalem, a city now divided into four quarters: the Christian quarter, Jewish quarter, American quarter, and the Muslim quarter. In all the quarters, fear of one another seemed to justify the presence of military, police, and guns. While the people were playing their childish bullying game, "My God's better than your God." Looking across the valley stood the walled-off old city of Jerusalem. Nestling up against its wall lay thousands of beautifully crafted limestone coffins encasing the rich. Today, in certain sections, one plot reportedly sells for $1 million. Laying in the shadows further down the valley, just below the second limestone wall separating the two burial sites, were the graves of the poor, marked with a roughly hewn flat slab of rock. It felt like the stones were crying out what ignorance, injustice, religion, racism, and power and wealth look like. And I asked myself, why did Jesus set his face like flint, leave the walled-off city of Jerusalem, and walk through the valley to Gethsemane to pray, when he could have prayed any place he wanted to? And this, right on the heels of just having been welcomed by the crowds, waving palm branches and shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus had not only seen what the rocks were crying out to me, he had been the victim of the fickleness and ignorance of the crowds, seen racism, injustice, self-righteous religious and ruling power brokers at play, carrying out violence, oppression, and subjugation, seeing what political power and economic wealth spawns. He had wept over it, fought against it, and knew this ultimately would get him killed. Jesus knew a cross on Golgotha's hill was his destination, and tragically, would be done by those using God's name to justify their demands. Exercising love, humility, mercy, or justice, loving God and your neighbor, was not what they were about. And now that the time had come to walk through the valley once more and face all the evil that the religious crowds and the powers that be would unleash on him, in his humanity knew he needed God to fortify him to keep focused and finish, that he came not to change the mind of God about humanity. It didn't need changing, but came to change the mind of humanity about God. Quoting Rohr, Jesus took confidence in knowing that through his final act of sacrificial love on the cross at Golgotha, God was showing how God's love in its purest form behaves. Love that made possible all the means for all humankind to be delivered from all transgressions and restored back to being as God had created in the beginning, the Genesis 1 account. And in this, God's kingdom reign could come to earth, as we ask in the Lord's Prayer. For Jesus to walk through that valley of the shadow of death once more was imperative. since Golgotha lay beyond that valley. And today we still see how practicing Jesus' message of loving God and our neighbor, pursuing peace, justice, and mercy, are the only means of breaking down the divisions of our man-made walled-off quarters, and have proven to be the only lasting impact in our hurting, struggling world over the centuries. And we, like Jesus, are invited to find strength and courage to remain focused through prayer, times of solitude, and reflection to do what we are called to do. For God knows our battles are lost or won in our mind. When remembering whose we are and reminding each other of the intrinsic value of being created in God's image brings real meaning to what being human means. As we ponder the profound significance of the cross, we, like Jesus, will be granted the resources to transcend the fear that stalks us in our valleys and find that we are safely lodged in God's heart. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For me, saying those words when healthy, in the safety of our home community, from a comfortable church pew, had one meaning. But these words took on another meaning in Lesotho during our 4 years there. Bill and I would repeatedly call each other to keep focused on the loving God we worshiped, knowing that this was the only hope to enflesh Jesus Christ's message of love, while partnering with the Basotho, together breaking down walls that separate. Still, at times, I feared evil when surrounded or chased by youth soldiers, all children high on drugs, carrying guns, knives, and machete, roaming the streets. Then being caught in a crowd of 250 strong, and they jumped on our vehicle, rocked it, and pounded on the windows. Or when thieves tried to break down our gate, all I could do was cry out, "Dear God, please do something." And God did. Or when bomb explosions shook our home and people seeking safety came running as the city of Maseru burned around us, to quell our fear said, "Now is the time to read Psalm 85 again. Claim the promises and apply what we preached on Sunday." And although after having experienced peace beyond our understanding throughout the remainder of the day and that night, the next day brought its own fear. Mid-morning day two of the war, across the street, a lit oil tank roared, threatening to explode, spewed forth plumes of smoke and flames that licked the sky. As we entrusted our lives into the hands of a stranger who smuggled us off our yard lying under blankets and raced through the city. When reaching the European Union, which was to be our place of safety, facing AK-47s again, the valley of the shadow of death took on new meaning. But fear not did too. God had again, as many times before, sent to us a trustworthy flesh and blood rescuer who had raced us through the city that looked and smelled like hell itself. And we were able to comfort others who were more afraid than we and provide transport out of Lesotho for 3 people, while at the same time taught a deeper level of trust. Jesus knew that the valley of the shadow of death was only a shadow, not something that could really harm. Therefore, he was unintimidated by Pilate during his interrogation and stated, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above, from John 19:11. And we are asked to do the same thing when violence, oppression, pain, and anguish come to us. For they can be a distraction and cause us to lose sight of the reason what God has created us for and calls us to, and build our own walls. The circumstances in our shadowed valley awakening fear feel and affect each one of us differently. Fear is a common malady of us all. The words "fear not" are found in the Bible 365 times in one form or another. My guess is Jesus, like we, spoke these words to himself many times. The circumstances we are in may or may not change, but as Eddie Hillesum has written, I am not alone in my tiredness or sickness or fears, but at one with millions of others from many centuries, and it is all part of life. Fear can also be a catalyst for good, and in the midst of it, we are asked to stand strong, persevere, knowing that when we suffer with God suffers with us. When we weep, God weeps with us. Walking in our valley, depending how great our fear is, determines how impenetrable the crevices feel. And if there is no way of scaling them, then there is no choice but to continue on through however long the valley is. But we do have a choice how we will move through it. As trust grows, fear is displaced at the center of our life and sense that everything will come together for good as we walk our valleys. Fear no evil doesn't mean that fear isn't present, but that confidence and peace are there in spite of it. Because our confidence and hope of moving beyond the death valley comes from a faithful God who has promised to be there all the time. Many times we try to rationalize away our valleys or get too busy to fully walk through them and miss out on receiving whatever it is that God has for us. That is why we fear to wholeheartedly give ourselves to our daily calling and get stuck. The valley can be related to the end of life travels, but mostly I think it's life experiences, some bigger, some smaller. But no matter what, as a child of God, ultimately the scariness of evil, whatever that is, will not harm or overtake us because of the faithfulness of our shepherding God. Psalm 23 assures us that after entering the valley, unable to retreat, God, like the skilled shepherd, is there to aid, guide, and protect us, and hurls a rod at our fear, covers us, inviting us to fear no evil, and stands with a staff in hand and coaxes us on. At times, lifts and carries us to the safety when too weak, and places us beside the still waters to drink of the goodness and mercy flowing there and find rest. Jesus, in setting his face like flint towards the cross, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, has deep significance for the whole world. If rightly understood, also reveals various kinds of resurrection. For in the cross, it's as if God were holding up the crucifixion as a cosmic object lesson, saying, I know this is what you're experiencing. Don't run from it. Learn from it. I, the Master Shepherd, will be your comforter, guide, and teacher. Rather than losing life, you will be gaining a larger life. Your valley is the way to richer, greener pastures. Today, we are finding ourselves caught up with our fellow global family's fear as coronavirus stalks our globe, finding its prey. We may not be the one who has it, but in our groaning and weeping for those who do, along with their caregivers, God is groaning and weeping along with us all. Christ, our shepherd, invites us to set our face like flint, face this fear like Jesus faced his, and walk through this global valley of death together, holding hands, offering support, keeping our eyes on the hill lying beyond the valley, engaging in what God longs to do through us, and stop our childish bullying game of chanting from within our walled off quarters, "My God is better than your God." Instead, get busy breaking down those walls and simply love one another. Somehow, in the midst of our fickleness and our lack of understanding, the mystery of God, the mystery of God's love, is at work in us and through us all, asking us to lay hold of God's comforting rod and staff and let God, our Master Shepherd, guide us. Even though the valley presently seems shrouded in a cloud of disease during this pandemic, the Master Shepherd is in it with us all. And like Jesus did for his disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, desires to show us things that will leave us awed, as Jesus' disciples were. And I pray that during this troubling time and for all time that lies ahead, we can heartily say, "God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure." Amen.
Together with the community, let us pray. With the psalmist, we say, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change." Lord God, our refuge and strength, the earth is certainly changing beyond what we could have imagined only weeks ago. And in the midst of this change, we reach out for what does not change, the presence and love and grace of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Today we join our prayers with the faith community of this region. We pray for peace and hope in the hearts and minds of each person, young and old. Lord Jesus, you came to your disciples during the storm at sea, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." May our fears melt away at the sound of your voice in our hearts, even today. We thank you, God, for the many stories of generosity and kindness that are already emerging from this crisis. In the days ahead, may the narrative of crisis also be accompanied by a narrative of compassion, resilience, and creative kindness. For as many are saying, we are all in this together. Help us to discover what togetherness can look like when infused with love and generosity. We pray for protection and strength for those engaged in essential services, providing food supplies, medical care, transportation, law enforcement, governance, and more. Please protect all those dedicated workers. Keep up their courage. Grant wisdom. And give them needed times of rest and renewal. We pray for ourselves and our loved ones, for protection of life and health. We pray this for those most vulnerable to this virus. We pray for people across the land. Healing God, have mercy. We pray for a collective will to cooperate with the measures required to contain and slow the spread of the virus. May we all be willing to submit our personal interests to the collective good and experience peace in the midst of this unprecedented and strange time of isolation. And sovereign God, may you raise your hand of mercy over this world and bring us up and out of this crisis as this virus recedes from among us. Lord, have mercy. Our prayers are simple, faltering words, but may your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we pray. Amen. For a closing song, we will sing number 16 from Sing the Story, Peace Before Us. Peace before us, love before us, and Christ before us.
Behind us, peace under our feet, peace within us, peace over us, let all around us be peace. Love before us, love behind us, love under our feet, love within us, let all around us be love. Christ before us, Christ behind us, Christ under our feet. Christ within us, Christ over us, let all